And again, what we're doing is we're going over the doctrines here in Romans chapter 8, and we're finishing up the doctrines here in Romans 8, verses 39, 38 and 39. The issues here is about that being separated from that love of God. When we looked at being separated from the love of Christ, we looked at that over there in verses 35, 36, and things like that. We looked at that about what that is there, what that entails about being separated from the love of Christ. And the idea that tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword, they're all things that are designed to, by Satan, to separate you from the love of Christ. These things can come up in our life, whether it's the tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. These are things that can cause a saint to want to throw in the towel, where you won't want to get your education, where you would not want to be what God calls you to be, as a son and daughter in Christ, where you'll not want to, when it says separate us from the love of Christ, that's separating us from getting our education, being sons, being ones that are called according to his purpose, being ones that do not want to give up of ourselves in a selfless love for Christ when we go through these things, the same way Paul did. And Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, Christ's strength is made perfect in my weakness. Just paraphrasing that, but that's the gist of what was being said. So let's take a look at that here. Come to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 35. And again, these are the who's, these who's, which are the enemies that can work together. That can work to separate you from the love of Christ. And each time you see a tribulation or distress, that's an enemy. That's a who. You ought to view it as an enemy, where it's something that can come along and separate you from the love of Christ. And that's not the love for Christ. It's not the love for Christ. You got many believers that love Christ. Matter of fact, you got a lot of unbelievers that love Christ also. Love God. You have Muslims that would tell you that Christ was a great prophet. You have people that think they're saved that would tell you that they love Christ. They fervently would tell you that they love Christ, but they don't understand the recipe for salvation. They're still trying to work for their salvation. But they have the love of Christ, they have the love for Christ, but not the love of Christ, not Christ's love, as we've seen in verse 31 on 32 and 33, and actually 34. Matter of fact, let's just read that real quick there. Romans 8, verses 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, right there you see the love of God right there being displayed towards us. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And you see the intercession that Christ makes for us, because of the love of Christ for us. And we also have to understand that selfless love of Christ and apply that into our thinking, into our hearts, into our minds, and have that same emotion. Now, let's read on here. Let's go to verse 35 here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And I'm going to stop there, and we looked at this last week here. You know that this is what it's talking about because it says, for thy sake. And this is what, that is a selfless love. This is something that someone is saying, that I'm going to live for you and I'll die for you. If it comes down to that, I'll suffer tribulation for you. And I'll not only just and I'll do it because of the love, your love, the love that you have, me having that love of Christ. I'm going to go through the distresses for thy sake, the persecutions for thy sake, the famine for thy sake, nakedness for thy sake, peril for thy sake, and sword for thy sake. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And again, that love is being shown there. But you're more than conquerors because you understand that in these things, that's why it says, nay, in all these things, you are made a conqueror in all those things because that's the things that qualify you. These are the things that qualify you as being conformed to the image of his son. And if you didn't go through these things, you would have no capability of being who God has called you to be as a joint heir in Christ. If you were a saint that didn't go through the sufferings of this present time, how were you able to be a son and a brother along with the Lord? He suffered. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul suffered. How can we call ourselves brothers or sisters in the Lord if we're avoiding these things? It's not possible. And it says, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors to him that loves us. And this is what we're after here. This is the part we're studying now, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this is what we're going through here, these two verses right here. This is what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be spending our time looking at this here for the duration of the study here. And let's take a look at some of these things. When Paul says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, life, remember, these are enemies, nor angels, nor principalities, because these things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And these things all pertain to the love of God and the love we ought to have for the things of God. And we're going to see that these are different from the tribulations and distresses. The tribulations, the distress, the persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, those are things that can emotionally affect us. They can affect us in an emotional way where it can cause fear. It can cause what it says on the list there. And these are things we all go through. But these certain things here in verses 38 and 39 are designed by Satan to cause you to throw in the towel because it can cause you from wanting to follow the god of this world. As it says about the god of this world that blinded the minds of them, lest the glorious light of the gospel is not upon them. And that's not, that. That's to say that you have you can be easily betrayed. You can be affected, whereas the glorious light of the gospel will not stand upon you. And that's why it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, disbelieve that. And that's what it's designed to do. And matter of fact, let's come over there. Let's come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's take a look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be sealed, it is sealed to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ be the image of God is not upon them, for we preach not of ourselves, but for Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, what? For Jesus' sake. And look at verse 6. For God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined the light in our hearts, to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And also, and look at verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power
may be of God and not of us. You see, in verse 5 it says that Jesus faith. And then verse 7 it says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's for the Father's faith and for Jesus' faith. It's why Paul says he's doing this. Then what's the next verse? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Terrified, but not destroyed. Paul's saying here that he's saying in all these things, he's more than a conqueror. And he's doing it for the sake of Jesus, and the Father. But this is how it works. This is the doctrine of what is being displayed in front of us when we see in Romans chapter 8, verses 38, actually verses 35 on down. It talks about these things, Paul has the stresses and persecutions and all this. But then earlier in verse 3 and 4, it talks about gospel being good and the God of this world. Those are things that concerns the Father. Bad doctrine being brought forth into the world by Satan's ministry. And what that does is, those principalities, powers, might, thrones, and all the things that's there, in verse 38 when it says, I perceive the need of death and life, the angels, the principalities, powers, the things present, the things to come, the height of death, the end of the creatures, not being separated from lovers. See, those are things that's how it can work. That's how the God of this world works. If he separates you, it can cause the gospel to be here. It can blind the mind of one where they won't want to get in the Father's gospel. That's how verses 38 and 39 can separate us from the love of God. You can still have the love of Christ, but be separated from the love of God. You can be one that's willing to suffer and go through some of the things as Demas was. Demas was a fellow laborer with Christ, with Paul. But then Demas, as I said, he loved this. Let's go over this. Second Timothy. Go to Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Let's just look at verse 10. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Love this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, teachings to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is proper for me unto the ministry. And Paul is saying here, Demas forsook him. He loved this present world. And see, this present world is part of the thing that's on that list over there in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Those things present, things to come, all those things, life, all that stuff is designed to take a saint who is in God's word and try to pull them out, have them keep the sacred. And notice it says, having loved the present world. Well, if he's loving this world, he can't love God. He can't have the love of God. Because his heart is enlarged towards this world. And let's come back to Romans. And let's look at Romans chapter 12. Now to Romans, look at chapter 12. And again, we're looking at some of the effects of how this world can have an effect on you. Things that are specially designed to not take an effect, to separate you from the love of God. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may choose what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now, what I'm asking is verse 2 there. Paul says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Being conformed to this world would have you being conformed to the will of Satan, the will of man, the will of to your own will. You'll be conformed to your own will, and it'll be a sin for all. It'll be like, what it would be is that you're down here on this earth, and you partake of whatever you want to partake of. Being conformed to this world will have you feeling that it's a free for all, and hey, let's just have fun. But it says here in chapter 2, verse 2 here, be not conformed to this world, because this world will have you, it can pull you away, cause you to love it more than loving God the Father, loving the Son, and doing things for their sake, as we've seen earlier. You be as Venus, having loved this present evil world. You keep forsake the ministry. Now let's go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at chapter 1. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, sorry. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish fearlessness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputers of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. And you see what's been said here is about the world. And the first thing that this world can cause man to fall for is the things of Satan. That wisdom. Satan himself was lifted up with pride, and he was full of wisdom. And man seeks after wisdom. He seeks to be wise. He seeks, and with that wise, he feels it comes power. But as you see here, the real power is the things of God. And that's why it talks about that cross being the power of God. But as a man, that's foolishness. He thinks you're wasting your time. Why would you be involved with that? They call people like that Bible heavies or whatever they're called, but it's foolishness unto the world, unto the wisdom of this world. But the wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. Now, why are you here in 1 Corinthians? Let's come over to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And again, we're looking at some of the things of this world, how they can separate you, and as we've seen here, being so wise in your own conceit can cause you to be, it can cause a separation from the doctrine. Because you want to be as Paul says over in Romans chapter 11, 25, wise in your own conceit, and be ignorant to the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You notice Paul says the power. He was saying about with the power to it, because man thought that it was power. So they were powerful because they were wise. And Paul is showing that they're actually thieves. They're wise men to speak. Look at verse 6. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that comes in naught. And you see that princes of this world, and notice what you see here, because these are some of the things on that list over there that can separate you from the love of Christ. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even as hidden wisdom is God ordained before the world and through our glory. See, this is the wisdom of God. And we would want to put the wisdom of God on display if we have the love of God. And what can separate us from out of the love of God if we fall victim to what's being said here? And we're going to look at that in a second. This is verse 8. With none of the princes of this world mean, for had they known that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, look at what this says, the deep things of God. Remember we looked at the things there, verses 38 and 39 of Romans 8. It talks about the love of God. Well, these are the things of God that we're looking at here. And notice it says in verse 9, it's them that love him. Those are the ones that really love him, have that real love of him, not just love for him. Because those are the things which God has to do. Those are the things that, these are things that pertain to God. And when looking at this here, these are things that we're taught to see that all pertain to the love of God. Now, come over to 1 Corinthians 2 here. 1 Corinthians 2. I was going to look at something, but it slipped my mind what I was going to look at there. It's kind of recollected. That's why I still had it written down. A lot of times when I'm doing this, and things are coming to my mind, like that at the outset there, that I didn't make notes of. So oftentimes I'll take a look at it and just stop midway. Well, we'll just move in. First Corinthians chapter 2. If it comes back up, then we'll go back to it. First Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 16. First Corinthians 3, verse 16. And it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, then now God destroys the temple of God is holy, the temple we are. I got to remember, what we're looking at here is the temple of God. That's where we are. We are the things that pertain to God, because God is using us as being an extension of his holiness. We are his temple as he dwells within us, when his word dwells within us. When his word dwells within us, we are where the word of God shines out from us. Because we also can put it on display in our members. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And you see that wisdom being talked about in them being looked upon as a fool. Verse 19, so the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Well, it is written, because it's a wise man owns what? Craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, but they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, the things present, or things to come, all things are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is what? God. These are things that pertain to the Father. And you notice the things on the list there in verse 22, life, it says, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. These are things that Paul has to remind them of because they are out there in the world. They want to have the life of this world. And death, they don't understand death being their enemy. The things present, things to come, those things, they're thinking about the future as in a living a lavish life future. We're thinking about right now, that's not being for Christ's sake. Let's come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's do that. Chapter 4 here. Chapter 4, let's look at verse 8. Verse 8. Now ye are poor, now ye are rich, and have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that ye did reign, that ye might also reign with you. What think that God has set forth us the apostles last as it were pointed to death? For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels, unto the world and to angels and to men. We are foolish for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Paul says here in verse 9, I think God has set forth us the apostles last as it were pointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world. Notice he says, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, unto men. Paul is saying there, when he says, for we are made a spectacle, that's just the point and purpose, how you have an effect. And I remember the verse now I was going to go to, and that's Ephesians chapter 3. We'll go there in a second, but he's saying, we are made acceptable to what? The world. And to angels. And to men. And being acceptable is letting the world, and the world is looking at Paul and seeing how Paul is suffering for Christ's sake. Seeing how Paul is doing the things he's doing for the ministry's sake, for the Father's sake. And he's putting this on display, acceptable. Onto the world, onto angels, because the angels are watching, and onto men. The men that want to be wise. They look at Paul as a fool. As Paul just said, that they look upon as fools for Christ's sake. Notice, for Christ's sake. And, of course, and we see many verses, you know, time to go into, but Paul talks about being servants onto, and we'll probably look at that in a little bit. About being servants for their sake, for our sake. And he's doing this for the gospel sake. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see how this takes effect here. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to stop there, but as we see, because of the principalities and powers, and that's what we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because of them, God kept a secret. He kept a mystery. He kept this gospel as hidden secret within himself. Because of them. And these are just some of the enemies that the Father has. And they ought to be our enemies too. They ought to be looked upon as our enemies, just as they are enemies of the Father. And that's the whole purpose from the beginning of the world, which God has hid in, this has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the Spirit, the manifold wisdom of God. Remember the verses we just looked at? Paul says, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, unto men. That's where we are. We're made that. We are made that. Being ones that are His church. And that's the intent. That's the reason why. That's why 1 Corinthians says, to the intent that now, that what you're doing, you're putting the real, you're putting the excellency of the power of God on display by us. That's what we are doing this. That it may be known by the church. That's the ones that love God, the ones who have a call to fit into His purpose, the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ our Lord. You see, He had an intent that this would take place. He had an eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, this thing, this ministry means a lot to the Father and to the Son. It's glory in it. And look at verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And Paul is saying that these are things that he's doing for us. He's because of his love, because of his love of God and his love of Christ, he's given up his self in a selfless love for us. The things that Paul did, he did for Christ's sake. He did for the Father's sake. And he did for our sake as well. Now let's come over to, I want you to look at something here, but it might take a little too long to go through. If we have time, we'll come back to, not a stop, let's just take a look at that. It's more of the 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at, think of verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now you see, your followers can follow me, even as I am of Christ. And remember me in all things. Keep the ordinances, and so on and so on. Verse 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. But now, in looking at this is the godly design, the godly structure. This is the godly structure that God would have in a marriage there. He would have that Christ be the head of the man the head of the woman, but all in Christ. And as he said, in the head of Christ is God. That's the structure there. That's the godly structure. Verse 4. Every man praying and prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays and prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. But that is even all one as is Jesus Savior. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be sworn. But if it be as plain for women to be sworn and saving, let it be covered. Now let me stop there for a second there. And what this is doing is it's going on. Paul is giving an example about how ones that had the custom to play their with their head covered and so on and so on, but he's looking upon in the sense of the man and the woman's structure of the ministry and how the man is the head, and he's going to go into why this is the truth, why this is an issue, why God designed that it be this way. Because remember, Paul is actually talking about being followers of him. And he's saying you follow him as you follow Christ, and he's explaining to you there's a necessity for you, why you're going to have to do this. Now, let's read on. Let's come down to verse 7. So the man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of the glory of God. but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither is the man's spirit for the woman, but the woman's spirit of the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, he just said, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For if the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. The wife says to all things of God. And Jesus, this is the way God would have it to be. God would have it to be this way because of, as you see here, verse 10, for this cause. And the cause is that the man be not of the woman. Neither is the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. See, what's being said there is that, earlier I did a study called The Woman's Function of Salvation. And it talks about the idea where Paul talks about the woman being led astray or being taken captive by Satan and things like that. Paul talks about the silly woman lady and sinful. See, if a woman is not married or has not experienced the issue of the childbearing thing there, she could become an easy target for Satan. And God has designed that man be, let's just say, that power be on her head. Because if a woman is not married or cast off the first place, which is what it says, this is marriage and bearing children, God in the house, he is going to be an easy target for Satan. And this is what Paul is speaking of here. He's speaking of this because that's why she ought to have this, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. And that's why he talks about that the head of the woman is the man. That's why verse 11 says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. And that also speaks to a man that's never been married. He's also going to be an easy target for Satan going out into this world in the lust of things that he can go after into this world. But again, if you need more information on that, I can give you more information on that. I can do a study on that issue there. I did get a few of them written studies, and I did an audio study on it. But if you need more information on that, we can go through this a little more in depth because it's a more in-depth issue to go into rather than just touching on it here. So let's move on there. Let's come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Okay. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall be delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down rule and all authority and power, for he must reign, because he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And you see here, verse 24 says, it talks about that kingdom of God, even the Father. And when God is spoken about being that Father, he's spoken of in that Father. That's the way we ought to view him when we're looking at the verses here. Not just God, but even the Father. Paul wants you to see the value that there is as a son. that the value that it is to the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That means that there's not going to be any ruling authority by man on this earth. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And remember we looked at Romans 8 about those enemies, those fiends, all the different fiends there, the principalities, the powers, the death, the life, the angels, all those are enemies. But death is the first one that was on the list. And you see here, verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Because see, God is light. God is light. And the enemy of light would be what? Would be death. And we ought to view death and our loved ones' death or the ones that have died in Christ as being a victory. Because it is. It's a victory being shown by us through the cross. Now let's come over to Galatians. Let's come over to Galatians. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 4. Galatians 1, verse 4. Actually, verse 3. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace be God the Father from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and convert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, and that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed. And as we said before, so I say again now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, and that which ye have received, let him be accursed. And see, Paul is saying here that if any man or any angel, though we are angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you. But Paul is saying there that it does have a capability that someone can do this, or an angel from heaven. But now in these times that we're living in now, that's not the case. But back here when Paul was writing to the Galatians, that was a possibility that an angel could give them another gospel, because God was still revealing his revelation to man, and Satan was still doing his workings on this earth, deceiving the world. But when God when God completed the word, when the word of God was completed, and he wasn't sending revelation out there anymore, Satan couldn't send revelation either. Satan couldn't send, he couldn't send messengers either. And as you see here, it says about that angel coming there, or any man perverting the gospel of Christ. And as you see about that present evil world who Christ gave himself for, and he wants us to understand that. Now come over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and as you see here again, we're looking at how we can be separate, the things that can separate us from the love of God. And these things can separate you from the love of God. Galatians chapter 5, let's look at verse 18. Galatians 5, verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry,
witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelers, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. And as you see here, Paul says, they that are Christ's. These are ones that want to be led by the Spirit. And those works of the flesh are the same things that we see that are those works of darkness over in Romans 13. We didn't have time to go there, but if you want to, you can take a look at it yourself. All those works of darkness over there, that's designed by the prince of darkness and the principalities and powers in high places. These are all the offsprings that man partakes of, his lusts that he partakes of, the affections, not just lusts of his flesh, but the affections and lusts. When you have an affection for something, it touches your heart. It's a lust of your flesh, but it's the love of your life. It's one of the loves. You can have many affections on this list here. There could be many lusts. I mean, take that back. All the things on this list, if a man partakes of the lust of these things, one of those things, it's going to be his affection, because it's going to touch his heart, not just his flesh. And these are things that can separate us from the love of Christ. And as you see here, being led of the Spirit in verse 18, that's the same thing we're told over there in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, being led by the Spirit. And when you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because you want to be. That's why it says, and ye are Christ's. Now let's come over to 2 Timothy. Run out of time here. Let's go over to 2 Timothy. Let's look at chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I wanted to look at something else, but I'll note the verse and you can go there yourself, time permits there. Chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, in looking at this here, you see that Paul is talking about here that those perilous times that's going to come, the last days, which we live in now. Notice, verse 2, it says, for men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. Not lovers of Christ or lovers of God, but lovers of their own selves. Now, these men could very well love God. And what Paul is talking about here, these men actually do love God. Because in verse 4, he says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So they have a love of God, a love for God, but they don't have the love of God. Why? Because they love pleasures more than God. They love themselves more than God. Notice verse 5, having a form of godliness. There is a form of godliness there. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had a form of godliness. Preachers today have a form of godliness. We've seen over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when it talks about Satan's ministers having a form of godliness, transforming themselves onto ministers of righteousness. And he's telling you that these things, he says, from such turn away. And notice what the byproduct of that's going to be, if that happens. For of this sort are they which creep into house and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. That's different lusts. Before I talked about how the men are going to be this, how men shall be. Men shall be, now it talks about the women having divers different lusts. But those lusts are different. Satan knows what caters onto the woman and what caters onto the man. And he knows that. But here it says, ever learning, never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. They're trying to learn. We see people all day going to churches, these buildings all day long. But they're never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Their minds are blinded from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now let's come over to, while we're in 2 Timothy, let's go to chapter 4. And let's look at we looked at verse 10 already, so I'll tell you what we're going to do here. Let's come back here to... And I don't want to spend too much time on this issue here, but let's come back to let's come back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's look at this. Look at one verse here. Then we're going to go back to Romans 8 real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's go to verse 9. And he's talking about these men, these evil men who are teaching that gain is godliness. He says, verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covered after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. Through with many sorrows, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. As you see here, these people could have a love of money, which will draw them away, which will drown men in perdition. But thou, man of God, when you look at what a real man of God is a man that has a love of God. Not just because a man says he's a pastor, teacher, reverend, or whatever he says he is, people call them men of God, and that's not what they are. So let's come back over to Romans chapter 8 here, and we're going to close. Romans chapter 8, and let's read this verse 38 to 39 on down again. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, for things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All these things here that we see on this list are things that we just looked at that can separate us. The death issue, us not understanding, we went through that. The life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, and the height and depth of the creature, all those things, you can even coin the zodiac into those things. You can even coin the people's love for the zodiac, how they observe times and months and days. You can look into the fact of how, not just the idol worship, but how some will observe certain things like that. And that can separate you. That can have you looking at the Chinese zodiac or assuming someone is because you're Aries, you're not compatible with a Taurus, or based upon what your horoscope says, or so on. That can have you trusting in that type of thing there. But with that on the close, and what we're going to do next week, we're going to look at sonship survey. We're going to go back to Romans 6. We're going to do a quick survey right back through it. And once we do that, we're going to go to Romans 9. That's where we're going to go into Israel's program. We're going to be going back through Israel's program, started from Genesis all the way up, and it's going to be a short survey. It's not going to be extensive because that could take years to go through. But it's going to be a short survey, and that's going to be after we finish the sonship survey next week. And we're going to start that next week. What I'm going to do, I'm going to open things up for Q&A. Star 6-1 will get you into the
Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And I hope everyone got a lot out of Romans chapter 8 here, because now when we go back to Romans chapter 6, you're going to be able to see that in a whole different light. Things are going to just come off the page now because of what we've already studied. So hopefully you have a good handle on that. And for the ones that are just listening in, this could be a good opportunity for you to come back to Romans 6 and get some good foundational doctrines that are going to be a necessity for your sonship life. Because if you don't have those things in Romans 6 and 7 under your belt, by the time you get to Romans 8, you won't be able to handle the things that you're teach to do as a son and daughter in Christ. You won't understand the capacity of how to try the Father if you do not have the things under your belt in Romans chapter 6 and Romans 7, the beginning of Romans 8 there. It's an exception. So again, Pastor Swan will get into the queue. And next week, again, we're going to be looking at those things, how we can have that. But they're going to be, there'll be a short survey. It might be, I'm going to try to condense it all into four studies, maybe five studies, lead next to Romans chapter 8 there. If not, then we're just going to do what just need be. Okay, and another thing with the conference, it was very edifying in Chicago, very, very edifying. And I thank everyone that came out, just like the Detroit one in August. This one here was very edifying. I have audio of myself. I didn't get a chance to record Pastor Gerald reading. I didn't have a chance to record Pastor Clint Paul. But they do have something on Facebook where you can see the conference on Facebook, some of the speakers there. I'm trying to see if I can get a copy of the DVD, if they happen, I'm not sure. So I'll keep you guys up to date on that there. And when I get that together, I will definitely keep up to date, and I can send that out to you whenever I receive it. I'll let you know more about it next week. Well, with that, I'm going to close.
And I want to thank everyone for listening to another Thursday night Bible study. And until next week,